Hey there, my name is Stef Hamelink. In this podcast, I talk with designers and strategists about how we can create brands that connect with their audience. So buckle up and let's talk branding. In this episode, I talk with Gilles Huibrecht. Next to my daily sparring mate on the job, Gilles is an awesome designer. He's well known for his clean, strong layouts and web design. His Dribbble profile has grown really big over the last years. He has over 8,000 followers, and recently he started teaching on Skillshare. We talk about branding, web design, and how to grow your audience on Dribbble. Enjoy! Hi, Gilles.
Hi, Steph.
How are you?
I'm fine. You?
Very fine. So, please introduce yourself. Who are you? Where are you from? What do you do?
My name is Gilles Huibrecht, and I'm a designer and skateboarder from Belgium. I've been designing websites for, I think, for over 7 years now or something. And I started with just the design, and then I started to get in user experience design. From there on out, I went to interaction design, doing prototyping and stuff. And now I'm also teaching on Skillshare. So I think that's it in a nutshell.
That's cool. What's the name of the class?
It's called Visual Hierarchy and Spacing in Web Design. And I just posted a new one for prototyping in principle too.
All right, cool. Sounds cool. I'll post it in the notes so people can find it. So you're a web designer, but you also do identity work and,
yes,
and logo
indeed.
Design. Yeah, it's interesting. I think we can talk about like how as a web designer, what branding is for you, because it's also different, but it's also very important for you and for your work. But maybe first off, what's branding for you? What does it mean for you?
To me, branding is more than just like the logo or the identity of a company. I think I heard it somewhere else, but it described it very well, that they were saying that branding is actually like the gut feeling a person has or associates with your brand. So it's actually nothing that we can do something about, but we can try to manipulate that feeling with people through everything that's in branding. And to me, that's everything from strategy to logo design, identity design, to web design, to all print design, everything that's related to the brand, actually.
Yeah, that sounds great. I think that's Marty Neumeier's definition.
Yeah.
Well, the gut feeling.
So.
Yeah, it's a really interesting book, The Brand Flip, and it's really interesting. So yeah, I think that's a good definition of branding, because a lot of people just think it's about the logo or the mark or something else, but it's a lot bigger than that. What does a branding project look like for you?
Mainly it all starts with strategy, but I'm not a big kind of strategy guy. So people at work, my colleagues do the strategy, and then I get a document with everything in it, like what is the personality of the brand, what it should look like, what the feeling should be like, all those things. And then mainly it starts with some sketches on paper. Sometimes it starts in Illustrator. It's depends on what idea I have for the project. But mainly it starts with some rough sketches. I'm not good at drawings, but it's just mainly to get a quick idea out of your head, so you can go quicker into Illustrator.
How do you, because that's a really hard part for a lot of designers, is how do you go from like the personality you get on a strategy to like a visual part? What are the cues for you? How do you approach that kind of thing?
I think mainly it goes into, I have a good understanding of typefaces and what feeling that they evoke, that I got that over the years working with typefaces in branding. So I think it's more like when I see in the document it has to be elegant or sophisticated or high-end, then I already know I'm going to have to work with like maybe a serif type, or it could be a sans serif type, but it's probably going to be in uppercase with a lot of tracking or something like that. When it has to be like playful, it can be like a sans serif very rounded or a very bold rounded typeface or something like that. And I think the mark should complement that. So if you work like with a serif type, it could be like a very elegant, like an icon that's not really geometric or something, but complements the type it has.
All right, that sounds interesting. I like the approach for the typefaces and so on. I think maybe a lot of designers sometimes try to look too far, and I think your design is always showing simplicity and straightforwardness, and I like that about your work.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about clients, because it's a big part of what we do, of course. How do you deal with negative feedback from clients, and how do you deal with clients not understanding the design direction of, or how do you deal with that?
Sorry.
It's okay.
Most of the time, I think when a client is getting subjective about the visual design we did for a project, I think it's really important that we set a goal before we start on the project. Like when for instance, the client says, I need more brand awareness, then that's actually a goal we can hit. So if we make a logo that actually solves that problem and it gives more brand awareness to the company, then we hit a goal. So that kind of takes the subjective part out of the question. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's so you say it's about clearly defining what the goal is of the assignment, and then always taking the client back to that.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think it's sometimes really hard because a lot of clients they're not designers, and we somehow have to explain them. Like, for example, you use a lot of white space in your design, and it's interesting to talk with clients about that. Do you have any tips for young designers having trouble with getting feedback?
I think you should always be open to it, but I also think that you could stand your ground on the choices you made. I have a feeling that design should be like, it should be never designed for the sake of it being designed. It should always have like a purpose or like a goal. For instance, in a website, it's also like when a client says something like, maybe we can do a funny page about my dog or something, that we have to say like, that's going to do nothing for your company. It's only going to make it look worse, and the page is not going to have a clear goal, so it's not going to help with conversion. And in my eyes, it's always about trying to make it so as objective as possible, so the client could not say I don't like that white space, or can we make the color yellow instead of red, because of they do that for personal reasons and not for the reasons, the objectives that the project has.
All right, that sounds good. Yeah, I think it's really about removing as much subjectivity as possible and focusing on why we're doing this. Maybe for you, I think it could be an interesting thing, because you have like when I see your Dribbble profile, it's really good that you have.
Thank you.
You have some kind of, I think, a style, because people are picking up on that, and maybe your style is even like some kind of trend. How do you deal with having like your own style but still being on brand, making websites that feel like the personality of the brand and not like it's Gilles' design? How do you deal with that?
That's a good question. I think it mainly, again, goes with something like having my style is more like, it's not restricted to, for example, having boxes or having big typefaces or something. I think my style is mainly typical because I use like a lot of white space and I like things very simple, so I do as less design as possible most of the time, and I think that is more typical to my work than something that's kind of within the marks of being trendy and having a lot of white space, because I think it's a combo of those things that makes it a bit popular right now in Dribbble. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, and I think also, because maybe that's confusing, I think you also do a lot of like own initiated projects, and that's where you can really put in your own style and stuff. But I think what you allow the brand to do is because of all the white space and the openness, you mm-hmm. allow the brand to live in your style. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, indeed.
So it's not easy, because you have like a lot of web designers on Dribbble that really choose their own style, and maybe it's too forcing on the brand. But I think with your kind of approach, it's always on brand, but still somehow recognizable. So that's not a bad thing at all, I think.
Yeah, cool. Thank you.
How do you feel that like the whole branding, if it can be a sector or a service, will evolve in the future?
I'm not really that busy with thinking about what the future is going to hold. I think every company always will need an identity or a logo or good branding. And I mostly think of between marks, like the future is now, that we should design for now, because if we design something, let's say futuristic, like we can say about, oh yeah, but it doesn't work now maybe, but in a couple of years everyone will be doing it. That I think we should serve the people right now, because that's also going to help the company a lot more, instead of doing something that's a bit futuristic or something and thinking of the future like AI, artificial intelligence. I don't think you wrote an article on that.
Yeah. And no, but I get what you're saying. Think about the user, about the customer right now. I think that's a valuable point, because a lot of people can talk about maybe what's going to be a trend in 2018 or whatever, but that's not really indeed. Important, because we just need to design.
We should always go for timeless design.
Yeah, nice. Maybe that's also interesting for you. I think you're mostly a web designer, but you make some pretty awesome identities as well. How do you think about like your skill set? Because branding is a really big scope, you know, it's from copywriting to photography and so on. Do you want to do everything, or really niche down on one skill set?
I started with web design. Over the years, I picked up branding, and I really enjoy branding, because web design, I was doing it for like, I think 3 years, and I was kind of getting tired of it. And that's when I started to do something more like branding stuff and print stuff related to branding. But it was like, I was doing web design, but I was doing a lot of trendy stuff at the time, and I was getting sick of it. So I started to do branding, and then I still felt like maybe I do want to do web design. So then I started to go over Dribbble, and I saw all these new styles, and then I wanted to learn all of that. But learning all that was, again, trendy. But over the time that I learned all those things, I started to develop my own style with the white space and like having good spacing with objects in design and everything like that. And that actually really helped me in everything, actually. So, and like I said, my Skillshare class, the one about visual hierarchy and spacing, it's called for web design, mm-hmm. but it's actually applicable to everything in design.
Yeah.
So it can be for like a poster or like a menu card or something like that.
Yeah, I think a lot of times you're doing identity design, basically, because you're choosing typefaces, the right photography, even messaging. How do you deal with like copywriting? Do you put a lot of lorem ipsum, or do you start thinking about the messaging as well?
For titles and call to actions and all of that stuff, I really hate using lorem ipsum. I I always love working when a client has like already a tagline or something, because I think a tagline on a hero section on a website could go like a really long way. And you can, if you have like the tagline that they're going to use, if it's like two words, you can have like awesome big typography that's really bold, and a design can really start from there on. So if the client has a copy for the titles in the beginning, it really helps setting a style, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for the whole project, so I would never put like a big title of the or the first H1 on a website in Lorem Ipsum, because I hate looking at it like that, also because it doesn't give context, and it makes the design less functional, and it's never a win in that section in that way. So I really like having the titles up front, and if it's possible, also the text. But most of the time, client doesn't know what he wants to put on his website until it's 99% developed. So
I hear you. So yeah, I think that's it's a really hard part for a lot of web designers, is like getting the content before the design, or just starting with the design and putting in the content later. It's always
A pain in the ass.
Well, I think it's also you learn how to do it better once you start talking with the client more and warn him for these kind of things. Do you have any tips for like young starting designers on resources? What kind of books or YouTube channels they should check out when if they want to grow?
I really like The Future. The Future Is Here, I think it's called. They have a YouTube channel, and they have a lot like videos to, they teach design, they teach typography, they teach business development and the business side of this.
Chill?
Because actually we're all, yeah?
No, sorry, you were dropping away. Can you talk a little bit just about The Future Is Here again?
Yeah, so they have a YouTube channel, and they do a lot of tutorials/videos about typography and design and art direction and business development. And I think that business development is also very important to every designer, because every designer starts with designing, but then there's the user experience side of the project, and then there's also like business objectives. Because we're always working for a client, and those clients have objectives to hit, like doing more sales or doing that. So a client don't really cares about how pretty their website is, because it has to it has to drive conversion.
Yeah.
So I think in that saying, that the business side is also really important for every designer to know.
Yeah, I think that's a really valid point, because there's a lot of designers just wanting to make it pretty, and I think if you know that the business language, and you can really get down with the client and talk about what he wants for his design, then you really are a better designer, and I think the client will appreciate you more and make see you as more valuable as well.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. I think it's something like you start to become an investment rather than you're a cost to them or something like that.
I know we said we weren't going to look at the future, but since we're thinking about it anyway, what does the future hold for you? What's the coming year? What you want to still do, grow?
I'm going to do my job at the company, doing web design and branding and all of that. But I'm going to start working besides my hours, going to get my own company, if you can put it like that, after hours, to start to learn more and to do more with my own clients and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe something like, I always liked doing something with clothing or something, or maybe doing something like that. I don't know. It's going to be a cool year. I'm also really excited about teaching on Skillshare. It's a really fun way to give back to the community.
Yeah, how's that been for you, the Skillshare?
I must say, if I could say one thing to any designer, is just get your stuff out there. So not like you have a lot of people that make something and I think it's not good enough. But I think you should make something, and then if you made something, just put it somewhere, Behance or Dribbble or even Instagram or something, doesn't matter, because from one post you make, there could be like a job offer that comes in return to that. So it really has a lot of value putting your stuff out there. And I was really hesitant in making Skillshare classes because people, they know me from Dribbble, but that's like my avatar picture and that's it.
it's so, a lot more personal.
It was a big step, like filming myself, talking to a camera and telling people how I work, because I think everyone's going to have that when you start teaching. The only thing you're thinking about is who am I to teach, and people are gonna comment, that's not right.
Yeah, it's like the imposter syndrome.
Yeah, indeed. But I doubted like I think a year or a year and a half on starting on a class, and then I had something like just let's fuck it and I'm just gonna do it.
Yeah.
And it turned out really great. I think I only had positive feedback on it. It was really awesome to do.
That sounds great. I saw the course, and it's really, I advise all designers to check it out. It's like really good, even if you're a designer that has some years behind it, it's like a really good refreshment of just visual hierarchy. And I think these kind of basic principles of design are things that are really important, and we should teach that a lot more than just like how to make this really awesome poster with a gradient. That's also interesting, but a lot of the basic skills and like really deep down, that's really interesting.
Yeah, the fundamentals are really important.
Right. Maybe one more thing, because of course I think a lot of people know you from Dribbble. It's been a good platform for you. Do you have any tips on, and maybe first, how much followers you have right now?
I think I have around 8,300 or something like that.
that's a really good number. How did you grow it like that? What was the approach?
First of all, I've been on Dribbble since 2011, so I think Dribbble started in 2009 or something, but in 2011 it wasn't really that big like it is now. So I think it maybe has something to do, like I was one of the early adapters in the first few years. But I was in school back then. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't have a niche or something, and I posted a lot of stuff. I did skeuomorphic icons and all of that stuff, and I did a lot of things. But the main thing that was what I was doing, I think it was like 11 months or something when I got my first 1,000 followers. But the thing with that was mainly because I was posting consistent, so I was really posting like 2 times every week or something. And then from there on out I started working, and then was like, I didn't really do much design work after hours. So it was a lot of projects from work, but the company didn't have like the most exciting projects, I would say. So my followers, the rate I was getting followers was dropping. So then I had like a couple of years, like didn't really care about it, wasn't really thinking about it or something. So I think it was like last year, 2017, March or April, and I had like 4,500 followers. And that's when I really started, like I said before, like I saw these new styles on Dribbble. I wanted to learn again about web design and typography and all that stuff. That was the time that I really started again making cool things at home after hours and started to post those. And I saw that having a good sense of choosing pictures for your work also had a lot of impact, because that could be like an eye catcher, so that people would see your post you make. So I think it's from doing that, and then I started learning about Principle app for prototyping. Mm-hmm. And then I started to make a lot of how a website should load or how an interaction could look like, something like that. And I made a lot of those also after hours just for fun, to learn about typography, to learn about prototyping, timing and easing and all of that stuff. And I think it was April that I got 4,500 followers, and then it grew to 8,300 now.
Yeah, so that's I think you've grown exponentially in the last year.
Yeah,
because indeed. Of like you started realizing what kind of style, how to do a lot of side projects to post more consistently. So yeah, I think that's really important to if you really want to grow it. And maybe another question following up on that is how does the big following work for you? What does it impact? Do you get a lot of work from it or?
I think the ratio of getting jobs is like once a week or something that I get a job proposal. I just for a project, not for a full-time position. Mm-hmm. But I think, yeah, it's like once or twice a week that I get like a message for a project, which is pretty awesome when you want to work one day on your own. And it really helps you not stressing about getting enough projects or having enough work to pay your rent or something like that.
Yeah.
So that really helps. Plus, I started doing Skillshare, the classes, when I had around 7,000 followers, something like that, I think. And that also really helped because my target audience is on Dribbble, mm-hmm. like younger designers that want to learn something. So it was a really good way of targeting the right people in a big group to get them to Skillshare.
You've got an audience, basically, to sell it to. Yeah, that's really interesting. All right, I think that's it for now. Just thank you very much, and I see you around.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, bye-bye, Gilles.
Bye.
So that was it for this episode. Thanks for listening. I hope you got some value out of it. Next week, we will be back with a new episode, this time with Henk Willems. He's a great brand designer who has loads of experience. He has received numerous awards and worked on amazing brands. You can find more info on his website, henkwillems.com. See you around in the community. For more info, visit www.letstalkbranding.be.